National One Hit Wonder Day. There you go. Spiral Staircase, 1969. And they released one album, couple singles before poor management and squabbling over finances, and that was it. They are a national one-hit wonder. It's a classic one-hit wonder day that I'm going to place some of my favorites and not-so-favorite one-hit wonders here in just a moment for you. I'll give you a little lesson on how I feel about one-hit wonders, but I watched a little Survivor last night. Regina's Jake Latimer was on there. He shared how he grew up here in Regina to us in our studio recently. He has since moved to Alberta as a job in St. Albert. That's likely why he told host Jeff Probst last night he was from Edmonton. I think he probably said Edmonton because, well, yeah, it's closer to where he's living now, and it's a little more recognizable on Survivor when you say you're from Edmonton than Regina. But come on, Jake, you let the Queen City down there a bit. Come on. Anyhow, he also revealed, too, as he did to us, that he lived in Australia. That's where he met his wife. When he was there, he had a certain job, he said.
I used to work for the Sydney Hotshots. It's basically Chippendales of Australia.
What is that world like?
Oh, it's terrible. You know, you got 1,000 women screaming your name every single night when you're on stage. It's just, you don't want that. I can charm a woman. I know how they work. I know what to say, what not to say. And it could help me out in Survivor. Real life Magic Mike.
He got a lot of FaceTime, I'll admit, and the tribe he was on went to tribal council. I won't spoil who got the boot, but I will say we're going to see a little more of Jake. And some of you have asked after meeting him, do I think he won the $1 million? I do not know. He was very coy, but I think when you're as beefy as Jake is, you tend to get punted out or just put into the background eventually because you're so intimidating and, you know, your strength. So something tells me he probably didn't, but I sure hope he did. Lots of conversations this week about the CFL rule changes. And to a degree, what's going to happen over at Mosaic Stadium, right? And I had Mayor Chad Baczynski on earlier this morning. I'd like to give you a little more of our interview here where we were talking about potentially moving the uprights and new turf to accommodate new lines. Whose tap is that when we do get there?
That is a great question. I would say it's pretty early days for the city. You know, we just heard about this as well. So it's something we'll work closely, you know, with our partners, obviously work closely with the riders and all of the sports organizations to understand what that impact is. And ultimately, the city will have to understand fully what kind of impact we're talking about for the field that we maintain and control.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, that sounds like a mayor response, but like, let's get your opinion on this because you have kids and you know what it's like. You've got to be a little concerned too that high school sports, Rams, Thunder, who won't be playing the same game, will suffer, won't they, by not using Mosaic altogether? Or would you find a way to move uprights back and forth, maybe avoid stitched in lines in a future turf for Mosaic Stadium? Your thoughts?
I think, you know, fair point. I completely agree. I mean, as someone with kids and I believe incredibly in the importance of sports and that, we will work to find a way to make sure that, you know, our fields and that are conducive to making sure our youth are able to continue to participate in the sports that they love. So we will work together and we will figure out a way to make sure that, you know, we are still enjoying the sports that we love.
All right. Do you think they've taken the Canadian out of the game? What's your opinion?
You know, I'm not sure. Like I said, it's kind of early days, and I'm hearing a lot of different opinions, and you know, kind of the pros and the cons of what others are expressing. So, you know, it's something I probably have to chew on a little bit more.
Okay.
Like I said, it's kind of early days for me.
Really quick, Mayor. How about a quick construction update? Dewdney revitalization. What's the latest there?
Yeah, I there's a lot of great posts I've seen going around on the installation of a lot of the pavers and that. It's looking absolutely incredible down Dewdney. We are getting, on the home stretch there, which is fantastic. We know that up to Rose Street, 11th Avenue is now open, and they're moving quickly down that way. So, yeah, things are progressing quite well right now.
What's happening right across the street with the yards? I'm hearing rumors that it could be going up for tender sometime soon. Have you heard that?
Yeah, that is the intention, is that we are working, and the city is doing a great job working quickly to make sure that we want to make sure we move in lockstep with the fact that we're revitalizing Dewdney, and there's such great things happening there, and we want to carry the momentum forward. So the intention is to go out in relatively short order here to start to look at what that looks like in the yard space.
Mayor Chapuscinski, I'm out of time. Thanks for your time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Here's another National One Hit Wonder Day. A day we celebrate the artist who gave us just one monster hit like the Archies and then vanished quicker than a half-price pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks. Come with me on a mini salute to the songs and earworms that'll stick with you all day. For instance, from the 60s. Yeah, that organ riff that made every kid want to start a garage band.
Yeah, baby.
Until their parents realized they'd never become the Beatles and cut the power to the amp. Left us all crying.
You're gonna cry 96 tears. You're gonna cry 96 tears.
Then came the 70s. Oh, baby. You know you want to sing to this. Carl Douglas, you ready now?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yes! When this song came out, it turned every basement into a dojo. Thousands of lamps would die, all because we thought we were Bruce Lee. National One Hit Wonder Day would not be complete without a wander through the 80s. It was the Super Bowl of One Hit Wonders. Soft Cells, Tainted Love still rules the wedding dance floor, doesn't it? And who could forget Dexy's Midnight Runners? Come on, Eileen! And then in the 90s, we were all left wondering when it was over how this one ever became so popular.
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Right, said Fred. I'm too sexy. The track made us all strut like runway models in Safeway. And then we get to the 2000s, the era of frosted tips in MySpace, where the Baja Man cursed us with. To this day, it remains a mystery to me, too. Anyhow, of all the one-hit wonders, this one might be the one hit that drives me the most insane. Thank you,
no!
Michael Scott. Thank you. Every time your car battery died, that song magically played in your head like the universe was trolling you. You see, one-hit wonders are like that summer fling. They show up, make you feel incredible, and then they're gone. But every time you hear them, it's like a time machine, right? They live rent-free in our brains. So today, if you feel like letting me know what your favorite one-hit wonder is, feel free to text me, 1-877-300-7275. Maybe together we can relive the memories. I'll play it for you. And don't be afraid to embarrass your kids either this morning by dancing in the kitchen to maybe this one.
I'm too sexy for my cat. Too sexy for my cat. Poor pussy. Poor pussy cat. I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Well, some are closer to being done, others halfway through. It all depends how the weather treated you over the last little while when it comes to the harvest. But my friend Rusty Dean, or Rusty Sobchuk, as she's known, with her husband Brendan there in the Lang area, about 45 minutes south of us, told me before this last week of warm weather, Rusty said that they were at a kind of a standstill the first week of September when everyone was going back to school because the crops like canola and canary weren't ready yet. But growth delayed from some earlier moisture weeks and months previously. But returning to the show this morning for an update, my friend Rusty, good morning.
I always love coming back on and joining you this time of year when it's the chaos of harvest.
Well, and I mentioned a moment ago how you were a bit delayed to get back at harvest. Seems a lot of farmers are a little behind.
Normally, in the last few years, especially with the drier conditions, everyone that has farmed is typically done by mid-September. But this cooler summer, the moisture has led to a harvest that actually is happening in the fall instead of the summer.
Are you worrying about an early frost?
You know what? The frost at this point for us we just have canola and canary. So a frost actually would be in favor for some who have crops that are still green. The frost would turn it, and then you could get out there and combine it. We don't care about a frost at this stage in the game. We're kind of hoping, you know, you'll see the spray planes out, you'll see sprayers out. Everyone wants to kill everything so that they can start to combine.
With tariffs on canola from China still unresolved, how has that discussion affected your marketing decisions or crop choices this year and from others you've talked to in the area?
You know, it's one of those things where in our area, I mean, there's still areas in the province where it's been very dry and their crops, at least what they would bring in off the field, is either a lower grade or maybe they just don't have enough bushels coming off. So it's extra stressful, I think, for those areas in the province, just because what you have, you want to make the most money and you don't get to control that variable of like, I want to sell it at this. I mean, you can put a target in, but there's no guarantee with the way the world is right now that that price will come up. And so I think for a lot of farmers, it's the conversation of in our area, wow, we've had a lot of bushels come off. You know, there's a lot of grain bags out there, not enough storage. It's been a bumper crop year, but then having to sell at a price that's way lower than you anticipated, that's a hard pill to swallow. We are just hoping now that the government's back, that there's conversations happening right now in Mexico and all over the place, that something can happen and the markets can change. But it's just a tricky place to be when you're a farmer, because how long can you wait is the question before you have to start to sell.
From the farm near Lang, Saskatchewan, Rusty D, my guest. I know how much you love to can. You have this amazing garden in your backyard. Is that fun for you, the canning process and reaping the benefits of the crop in your garden?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fun part for me is that I have kids that can, if I say to them, go out and breed the pumpkins this morning or the squash, they can go and pick the right blooms and breed them. And then when I say go pick such and such, they'll go and pick parsley, or they just know all the vegetables that we grow so well and they can go and pick for what we cook. And I love that. I think that I'm really teaching them something about growing homegrown food, growing what you put on the table. I love that. And so often I talk to them, this entire meal came from our garden. I think that that is like an important thing to teach them. I love it. The mass production is something else. Like I had about 95 pounds of tomatoes. It was like, holy, I'm going to get through these. So some days I cringe a little, or when my kitchen looks like a bomb, but it's worth it. And then throughout the winter, we can enjoy all these preserved foods, and it tastes better, Greg. It tastes so much better.
When do you think you'll be done?
Our goal is to be done before Thanksgiving, and I think that's a goal for at least in our area, you know, south of Regina, southeast of Regina, maybe not as much for those near Grey, Ryston, Radville. There's a lot of places that got way more rain than we did over the last, you know, 10 days or so, but I think just south of Regina and towards Lang and Milestone, you know, a couple weeks by Thanksgiving, shortly after Thanksgiving, I think a lot of people will be wrapping it up here.
Well, you got to be done by the 19th. The big Lang Fall Supper is then, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our Fall Supper is just it's a big one. We have hundreds of people come. It's because the food is so good. About 50 different kinds of pies you could.
All right. I'll have you back on closer to the 19th to brag about that, okay?
Awesome. Okay.
Rusty, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you. Take care.
It's the new song from Bryan Adams. He'll perform Sunday night. So Happy It Hurts is the tour, and I've got a pair of free tickets. Actually, I got a couple of pairs. So many of you were texting me with your favorite moments of fall and what you love about fall the most. A lot of you said hockey, and hockey evaluations, if you have kids, they are underway right now. It's busy at the Cooperator Center. A lot refer to being comfortable in their sweatpants around a fire. Cool, crisp evenings come up a lot in the fall colors. Winners, Brenda Kalina, who love the fall colors. Brenda, I'll hook you up with a pair. We put everyone's name in a hat, and Frank just made the draw. Brenda Kalina, we're going to DM you now. And Murray Skolmowski in Moose Jaw said, quite honestly, Greg, I'm a lot like you. Fall's my least favorite season. I look forward to summer. It's 9 months away. That's the best part of fall. Yeah, I'm not a big fall guy. I'm trying to embrace it a little more, Murray, but maybe you can too now with these free tickets to Bryan Adams. Thank you for playing along. Lance Donison is Executive Director of the Regina Warehouse District and joins me now with a bit of an update on the revitalization project. I know the mayor was just on, Lance, said it's going well. How's it look to you?
Yeah, I heard his comments. Yeah, I think he's exactly right. It's moving along in the right direction. It's great to see the asphalt going down, all the surface work starting to be completed. The underground work is all done. So now we just got to get the roads down and the sidewalks down, the pavers, and get it open and do our best to continue to help support these businesses along Dewdney Avenue that have been so patient and worked so hard to survive this.
They have been patient. It has affected their businesses. Have we lost any due to slower pedestrian traffic?
Well, I'm not sure we've lost any, but I think we have to be realistic and say that we're close to that. They've been struggling. Certainly the traffic is obviously down to being non-existent. We've done our best to try to get the message out that Dewdney Avenue has and continues to remain completely open to pedestrians, and there's lots of free parking in the yard to come down and support those businesses. Some of the businesses have been really creative in doing things on social media, trying to make sure that their customers and their patrons understand that they're open. But look, it's tough when you can't drive down and park in front or park that close to a business. They're looking forward to having this project done and opening things up and getting back to normal, and in fact, better than normal.
All right. Do we have a date then when we're going to be driving through that street again?
Yeah, I don't think we have an exact date. I think everybody that's been through a home renovation knows how it goes in trying to nail a contractor down to an exact date for the job to be done. But
not yet.
Not yet, but okay. It's close. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where we're not open in the fall. There may be some finishing touches left to finish, like installing a tree or a paver or two or something like that. But for the most part, and the most important part, is that Dewdney Avenue should be open to traffic and to pedestrians as well.
Lance Dotterson from Regina Warehouse District. Previously, you and I have talked on this show about the vision of the rail yards right across the street there. Somehow, perhaps one day connecting downtown Regina to across the rail yards over to Dewdney, some walkway or path. How far away are we from making something happen in the yards?
Well, look, I think everyone understands that the main reason that we did the project along Dewdney was to put in the infrastructure to be able to develop the yards. And that is a huge, exciting, maybe the most exciting opportunity Regina's had in many, many years to develop this. And we are close. We've been working with the city to develop a fair and open process to evaluate developers and what they'd like to see in the yards. And I think we're very close to taking that process to market in the next short while.
So potentially, could there be offers to build a new arena?
You know, Greg, I'm not sure exactly what's going to be out there. I think we heard from Mr. Semple and his team about the possibility of a baseball diamond going there. But we want to make sure that this goes to market, that we see what else is out there, that we have a fair, open, and competitive process, and we come up with the best solution for the yards, because we only get one shot at this, so we want to make sure we do it right.
All right, so the tender process is going to be pretty transparent. We'll know in real time what's going on. Is that your plan?
I think that's the plan. Look, it's going to be run by the city and ultimately decided by city council, but as the Regina Warehouse Business Improvement District, we're going to do our best to try to influence the process and make sure that we're advocating for our, you know, 700 businesses in the district and making sure that it's complementary to the rest of the district and in line with the Warehouse District's vision plan.
Okay.
The Warehouse District it's a unique character, and we want to make sure that that remains.
I got about 30 seconds. In the meantime, can anything be done in that space, say, for next summer, Lance?
Yeah, I think we've come up with some good ideas that we can keep the momentum going while the development is happening. We've got some ideas around temporary use, using some of the materials that are around. I can't exactly say what that's going to be, but I think we're going to have something exciting, something for families and kids and young people to be able to enjoy throughout the summer, starting in the spring.
Okay. Lance, I appreciate your update. Thank you so much for your time and effort.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Greg.